Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the oral Torah. We know that we have the Torah, but there is the written Torah and the oral Torah. We'd like to understand, what is it? Why wasn't it written? And how can it make our life better? Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, I can say that it really intrigued me back in grade school. As a completely secular girl, that we had such a subject called oral Torah. And I always asked myself, what is it? Why wasn't it written? What's special about it? There was this feeling as if the sages are passing on some secret from teacher to student, from father to son, some unwritten wisdom that's probably something truly important, profound. And many years after, I'd like to ask, what's special about the oral Torah? Why wasn't it written? What is its essence? What exactly did the teacher pass on to a student? I didn't study in a secular school where you study the oral Torah. And I didn't study anything in school about the Torah at all because I was completely disconnected from Judaism altogether until I arrived here in Israel when I was about 27 or 28. And therefore, what I can say is, my children, yes, they went to religious schools called Beit Yaakov, both of my girls, and my son, he went to a yeshiva and kollel. In short, they went through the entire course of religious education. During this time, I was studying the wisdom of Kabbalah from my teacher, the great Baruch Shalom Halevi Ashlag. And this is what I was engaged in. And I can only say what the wisdom of Kabbalah says about it, and no more. The wisdom of Kabbalah teaches that the written Torah and the oral Torah were studied in parallel. There are things that you can't express in writing, but only from teacher to student, according to what his heart can bear and to the measure to which he can open himself up to his teacher and receive his influence. It's being passed on in a very special way from mouth to ear in Hebrew called mipe leozen, and from mouth to mouth in Hebrew called mipe lepe. And this is how the method is being passed on. Can you explain a bit? Passing on from mouth to ear, it is according to what the student can understand. And passing on from mouth to mouth, it's according to the devotion of a student, meaning that then the student is included in his teacher, is annulled within him, and then the teacher feels the student as a part of his spiritual body, as a part of his soul, and accordingly can fulfill him. These are the two methods, meaning it depends on the student, on the measure to which he is devoted to his teacher. If the teacher, he's a Kabbalist on a certain spiritual degree, in contact with the spiritual world, with the Creator, and then through him he can pass on to the student both the method and the message and the upper lights and build vessels in the student and fulfill them. It's all done through the upper vessel, which is the teacher, to the lower vessel, which is the student. And this is called studying Torah. Where does the oral Torah come from? There is the written Torah and the oral Torah that are called the Partsuf of Zeranpin and the Partsuf of Malchut. And both of these Partsufim, plural for Partsuf, They receive the upper light from Keter, Chokhmah, and Binah, from the Gar, from the upper place of the Neshama, of the soul, to the lower place of the soul called Zeranpin. This is the oral Torah, and to the Malchut, which is the written Torah. It's all about the devotion to the revelation of the Creator among the Kabbalists, that this way they study and pass the Torah from mouth to mouth or from mouth to ear, from one to the other, from the teacher to the student. And this is how they study, and this is called studying the Torah, where the Torah is the light that comes to correct our vessels so that our desires will be in order to bestow. This is the first stage, and the second stage is to even be able to receive in order to bestow. When we're talking about reception in order to bestow, then this is called writing the Torah, because we're shaping and forming the vessels for them to be in order to bestow. It's called writing the Torah on the plates of your heart. So the oral Torah teaches a person how to do it, or the written Torah, or the combination? No, the oral Torah is oral, and the written is written. What's the difference between them? The difference is that there's a deeper perception, a greater attainment, and a closer, more stronger adhesion with the Creator. In which of them? In the written Torah. So the written Torah is one of greater, higher attainment. It reaches deeper into our substance. So what does the oral Torah add, actually? It precedes the written Torah in terms of attainment. It's the Torah of Zeranpin, meaning it's spiritual attainment. Of course, both of them are spiritual attainments that don't exist in ordinary people, all the more those that study the oral Torah at school, meaning it's different. It's not different. It's something else altogether. It's like teaching music to deaf people. It's impossible. There's need to open the ear and teach. What does it mean to hear? Otherwise, it's not. It doesn't come through. Still, I'd like to try and understand, because I feel that there is something that was passed on from teacher to student since the times of the so-called Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first Adam. Starting 5,778 years ago, and to this day, it's being passed on from teacher to student according to the student's devotion to his teacher. Meaning the more devoted the student is, the more he can receive from the oral Torah and even the written Torah. Meaning that he's already connected with his teacher in a connection of pe'el-pe, mouth-to-mouth, according to a mutual masach that stands at the peh of the partsuf of the neshama, literally meaning a mutual screen standing at the mouth of the partsuf of the soul. I see you're using Kabbalistic terms. Yeah, because all in all, it's necessary to pass on something whole and complete, and not just parts of words. Up till now, we talked about the passing on of wisdom from teacher to student, and you said that there are two levels here, that to the extent of the connection between the student and the teacher, the teacher can pass on to the student things related to the attainment of the Creator.
Right.
Now, the word Torah, usually when we hear it, we relate it to the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, besides this composition, we have compositions that were written later on in history. We have the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Talmud, the Kabbalah books, the Book of Zohar, and many more. Things that were written all throughout history. Now, if we look at the historic process, we see two stages. The one is when only the Book of Moses was in writing, and for many, many generations, there was the other Torah that was passed on only orally. And at some point during the second century, it was said that the people of Israel are facing dark times. They're about to disperse among the nations of the world in exile. And we're afraid that this nation might disappear altogether. And therefore, all the knowledge that we passed on from teacher to student orally, we want to put it in writing now. Now, one of the students of Rabbi Akiva, the great Yehuda HaNasi, is going to put it in writing. And from that point on begins phase B, the Torah, the wisdom that in the past was only passed on from teacher to student, is put in writing now. And so we have the written Torah that was written to begin with, the five books of Moses. And besides that, we have the oral Torah, which is being put in writing now. And besides, there are also the teachers that teach their students, that teach them how to approach this Torah and also that Torah, both of these wisdoms. Now, I want to go over this entire process point by point. First question, why, since the Torah of Moses, the five books of Moses came to be, why, since then, the sages make sure to keep a parallel path of the oral Torah, that you can't put it in writing, but only pass it from one to the other? Because it is possible to pass on the oral Torah, as you call it, only according to the extent to which a person's ready for it. What is being passed on to him? How? To perform actions, corrections that the Torah, the method of Moses, speaks about. So what does the teacher actually teach the student? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's written in the Torah of Moses. But you have to learn what that is. This is what the teacher adds. Yes? What does he add? What it actually means. In the written Torah? No, don't divide it into written, oral. These are incorrect definitions. So, please, we have a book written by Moses. Even though that's also a question, what does it mean that he wrote it? And also, not the Ten Commandments and so on. There are things that we have to scrutinize here. But suppose Moses wrote it. Let's call it the Torah of Moses. Okay, the written Torah. Yeah. What else? It says there, in the Torah of Moses, how a person has to arrange himself in order to reach the purpose of creation. Being what? Adhesion with the Creator, according to the condition of love thy neighbor as thyself, love another as thyself. Can you explain this? Meaning that if I reach with all of my corrupted to begin with qualities, my ego, I reach connection with others, that ends with love, where I am included of the deficiencies of the others and fulfill them. And this is my entire existence, where I reach a system which is completely integral, mutual. Then in that system, I discover the Creator. And the entire Torah is so that by love another as thyself, you reach love the Creator your God, reveal the Creator, and be in adhesion with Him. In the Book of Moses, there There is a verse that says, love another as thyself, I am the creator. This being the great rule in the Torah. This is what Rabbi Akiva says. So we have an example here for two things. We have the written Torah, love another as thyself, I am the creator, written by Moses. And thousands of years later comes the great Rabbi Akiva and says, love another as thyself. This is the entire Torah. At first, it was forbidden to write these things down. It had to be taught from teacher to student. What I'm trying to understand is, what's the difference between these two sayings? No, just a second. I want to understand. Why do I need a teacher to understand what it says in the Torah of Moses? It says there, love another as thyself, I am the creator. What do I need the teacher for in order to pass on the unwritten text? It's not written. You have to give a person different means, exercises, advice for him to be able to change himself through connection, by working with other people like himself that want to reveal the Creator, because the Creator is revealed only in the connection between people. Therefore, it says, from love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. Now, love another as thyself, this is the first stage, as a result of which you reveal, I am the Creator. Which means what? Because love another as thyself is the correction of our vessels, of our desires, to reach brotherly love. And what we discover, what we receive in the correctly connected vessels is called, I am the Creator. So what Rabbi Akiva said, that this is the great rule of the Torah, he was talking about his generation that was entirely toward the shattering, in disregard of the rule of love another as thyself. There was no point in talking about I am the Creator, because they were already in the dark. They were in great descent from their degree. And therefore he proclaimed, love another as thyself is the great rule of the Torah. You don't want the Creator, no problem. But still, you have some kind of grasp of the greatness of the Torah, and we're losing that. So you have to know that without love another as thyself, there is no Torah. I want to try and understand. And you can see it to this day. Who cares for love another as thyself? Who talks about it? Meaning there's no connection between love another as thyself and the Torah. So it's written. So Rabbi Akiva said it. So just pretty words. But no one's really concerned with it. And therefore, this is our great problem. We know that whatever you study, whether it's at school, in the university, wherever, there's always a teacher that teaches. A student doesn't just read a book and then he takes an exam. But there's a teacher that explains and so on. What's the difference between what an ordinary teacher gives the student and what a Kabbalist gives his student? I studied in the university, where about from my third year in the university, I was fed up with studying their pace and in general. I took such a course that I can come whenever I want and to take whatever test I want. The main thing is that I have a certain amount of credits, and so I can graduate, like a kind of open university. Yeah, something of the kind. But back then, I wasn't connected with anything. I used to go to the laboratory, do experiments and so on, but it was possible. And I really enjoyed these things. So what I want to say is that you have to teach a person how to perform these actions. It's not enough that it says about them in the book. And this is something that we know. Suppose you give a child notes and you give him a violin too. Explain everything and what will you get as a result? Why do we always say he is someone's student? He learned from so-and-so. Why is it important for us? And not only in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's in science, it's in music, theater, everywhere. because the teacher passes on the neshama, the soul, meaning what? The essence of the acting, of the action. It's something that you can't pass on because all in all we're human beings. We're not machines. And therefore, I can't put the plug in the socket and that's that. There's electricity and I work. And in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's much worse. Because we're talking about fitting in the upper world that we don't know, we don't understand. We have to perform actions in which we break our focus. And through this new focus that I find, I start seeing a new world. So what does the teacher teach me? How to see the upper world instead of this one. This is actually what he does. This is the Torah. All of it. All of it. Meaning the written, and the oral. So, the passing on of the oral Torah that the teacher passes on to me, he gives me actually what? The technique of how to read correctly, how to correctly understand the essence of these things, how to reach the next world. So it's not only about understanding what it says. No, it's not about understanding. It's a matter of compatibility of man with the upper world. So it's not that the teacher will make me better understand what it says intellectually. No. He'll cause me to feel what it says in the book. To feel, no. He'll cause you to know what to do in order to discover the upper world. Yes, but he won't do it instead of you. He'll only guide you. So this is another interesting principle, meaning he can't tell me what to do. He'll tell you as advice what's preferable for you to do, but still he'll leave you with your free choice and will patiently wait for you to realize it. And if you won't be able to realize it, you won't do anything further. So a real teacher passing on the wisdom is not a teacher that I can come to him and ask him, what should I do? And he tells me what to do, but he gives me guidance and leaves room for me to do the work. Yeah, he doesn't decide for me. You talked about compatibility. You said that the teacher teaches the student how to adapt himself to what? How to adapt himself to the revelation of the Creator. Being what? The revelation of the Creator is the revelation of the quality of love and bestowal. And where is this quality supposed to be revealed? In my connection with others? Between people? Yeah? What kind of quality is it? Of bestowal and love? It's something that we don't naturally have? We don't. So what we actually acquire is this quality that we don't have. Yeah. What is this quality that adapts us to the revelation of the Creator? It's called to integrate with the desires of others and to fill those desires. When I integrate with the desires of the others, I accept these desires as my own. And then, with these desires of the others that are dressed in my desires, I elevate them to the upper. From the upper, I receive fulfillment, light, force, and pass it through me to the lower, to the one I got the desire from. And this is how I help him. And what is this upper source that I draw from? It's called the Creator. Our time's almost up and I have plenty of more questions, so I'm really choosing what to ask. In the beginning, when there was the written Torah of Moses, and it was passed on from teacher to student. They explained what it says. What it says there, is it related to what we just talked about? Of course.